Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live here on FFC, it's a Football Friday on Football Full Circle. He's the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Today, we get you set for the holiday weekend ahead. Week number 16 in the National Football League with a game already on Thursday night, kicking off the week slate, the third to last week of this NFL regular season, with two more games on Saturday, a doubleheader on Christmas Eve, a full NFL Sunday slate on Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas Monday, a triple header of National Football League action. Some marquee matchups up and down the slate this weekend, Joe. A ton to break down here on this Football Friday.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great weekend of both college and NFL action, Ben. It started last night. We had a great game in terms of L.A., the Rams step up. But these games this weekend really dictate playoff races. They dictate potential conference championships as it relates to seeding and obviously teams on the cusp of wild cards, right? That is the biggest thing, Saturday and Sunday, which teams can step up and solidify their spot in terms of the AFC and NFC respectively. We had a team in New Orleans last night that limped to the finish line. Now they're going to need some work the rest of the way. I am curious to see how teams like Jacksonville and, more importantly, Cincinnati on the AFC side step up this weekend.
And, Joe, that's a perfect point to really start things off here on this Football Friday and week number 16. We talked about it all week long with how jumbled the playoff pictures are in both conferences, the AFC and the NFC, the groups of teams, not just two or three teams, but four, five, and six teams with identical records entering week number 16. Every game is going to have implications and significance, and we mean virtually every game. Before we dive into it, let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM channel 159. 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. This is a Football Friday on Football Full Circle, including last night's Thursday night football game, Joe, where both the LA Rams and the New Orleans Saints entered with a 7-7 overall record in the heat of that NFC wild card race, or for the Saints, in the heat of a divisional chase in the NFC South. We have 14 of 16 games this weekend. 14 of 16. Spread out over 4 days, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, spread out over this timeline on this holiday weekend, Joe, where 14 of the 16 games in the National Football League this week feature at least one team that is still very much alive for a postseason spot. That is how significant this weekend's slate is going to be, week number 16.
Yeah, and this is what it's all about, right? You know, we have teams that are really stepping up and making a statement with backup quarterbacks like Jake Browning, and we have other teams in terms of Buffalo that has righted the ship. You know, I talk about a team like Buffalo. I brought it up with Carver, Ben, get your take. But, you know, Buffalo reminds me of how Tampa Bay was when they won the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Remember Tom Brady and that team where I think 6-5, they went into their bye week, and all of a sudden just went on a rip in terms of a heater in the regular season en route to a Super Bowl championship. And that's what we potentially have for teams like on the NFC side. I want to see what Dallas can do this particular weekend. They really need to step up and make a statement against Miami. You know, Miami's another team. You know, every step up spot, they fail to live up to expectations. I feel like they're the Ferrari until they meet the Dodge, you know, pickup, right? They get the Dodge Ram knocks them right in the mouth. So that is an intriguing ball game, not just obviously for seeding, but to really get a gauge how we bet these teams big picture.
Litmus tests and what exactly these teams are going to do come the playoffs, not just earning a postseason berth, but how much noise are you going to make in terms of hunting down a conference championship or postseason noise. So, Joe, that was the case last night on Thursday Night Football to start off week number 16. The Rams and the Saints, both at 7-7. Two of the five teams that enter week 16 at 7-7 in the NFC, either vying for a wild card spot or, in the case for New Orleans, a divisional championship in the NFC South. And one team passed that test with flying colors. The other made it a little bit more competitive at the end of the game, but still not enough. The Rams, the teams that passed with flying colors, Joe, 30-22, the final last night in Los Angeles. It was not necessarily as close as the final score would say, decided by a single score, only 8 points. The Rams led into the fourth quarter 30-7 before New Orleans got a couple of late touchdowns there to lead us to an over on a pregame total at 45.5. But the Rams do win. They have won five of their last six games, Joe. They have covered in five straight, and they have covered in their last four, booked as a favorite. Last night, a 4.5-point home favorite against New Orleans inside SoFi.
Yeah, I talked about it on Pro Football Today. I really thought L.A. was the right side. I thought it would lean to the under just because of how inept and inconsistent New Orleans was. That game did creep over with a couple of late drives by New Orleans. But this game was won, in my opinion, in the first half. Matt Stafford, the L.A. Rams stepped up. They were aggressive early on, throwing the football. Puka Nacua with an unbelievable performance. Yeah. Over 100 yards, a touchdown. That opened up the rushing attack for Kyren Williams. And you know, this defense maybe not be great, but they bend, they don't break, they gave up only one big play over the top, but the rest of the night, Ben, they forced Derek Carr and that offense to methodically work down the field, and they imploded. That has been New Orleans in a nutshell. They can move the football through the 30s, but once they get into inside the 30, 35-yard line, they struggle, they opt for field goals, punts, and they just explode, and that's Dennis Allen and that team right now. When up and down team week to week, and I don't think they're going anywhere, but I will say this, that performance by LA, I already bet them at 45-1 to win the NFC. I'll tell you what, I'm sticking with it because I think they're trending at just the right time. They have the quarterback, they have the coach to potentially make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would think so as well, Joe. They have that pedigree, certainly. It was one of the reasons I felt optimistic about betting the over of the Rams' preseason win total. That was just 6.5 that they went over last week with the victory at home over the Commanders. It was because of that postseason pedigree. And with a healthy Matthew Stafford and a healthy Cooper Kupp and a healthy Aaron Donald on the other side, still under Sean McVay, this team would at least get you to 7 wins. And now it looks like they're going to get a playoff spot. And now it looks like, Joe, they might be the sneaky team in the NFC, like Buffalo in the AFC, that if you lined up on that opening weekend of this NFC postseason, you would not want to face. At least that's where things stand at this moment. Matthew Stafford throws for more than 320 yards last night, his fourth consecutive game with at least 254 yards through the air. And the rookie wide receiver, Joe, out of BYU, Puka Nacua, another huge night. 9 grabs, 164 yards in that matchup for LA. Kyren Williams breaks the century mark again, 104 yards on the ground, and it's really been that offensive resurgence, Joe, for this Rams team under the guidance of Sean McVay that has sparked this good recent form.
Yeah, I mean, again, I really, like, I get excited with the L.A. Rams. And we talked about it in the preseason, Ben. You mentioned 6.5. When we were discussing, it was 5.5 in the offseason. Yeah. Everybody wrote this team off. They thought they were a complete rebuild. And now Sean McVay and that team have the last laugh.
And now they're minus 235 are the Rams to be an NFC playoff team following a huge victory on Thursday night against New Orleans. A couple of implications from that game, setting up the playoff picture, setting up the Christmas weekend for the NFL. Live right here on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it's Football Full Circle, getting you set for the holiday weekend and week number 16 around the NFL. And Joe, we saw that start on a Thursday night in Los Angeles, a game that really represents what we are going to see here in this third to last weekend of the NFL regular season. Two teams vying for playoff spots in their conference, both with having implications following the result of that football game. That was the case last night. The Rams improved to 8-7. They win 30-22. They cover as a 4.5-point favorite against the New Orleans Saints. Meanwhile, the Saints end their two-game win streak. They drop to 7-8. Their season not done by any means. As we said, entering the game, yes, the Saints were a wild card potential team, but more so focused on the NFC South, and they will end the year with two games against divisional foes on the road next weekend in Tampa and back at home to end out the regular season in New Orleans. Joe, where do you think the Saints stand following the loss last night on Thursday?
Yeah, I think they're dead and buried. I really do. I'm sorry to say that, but I did have a preseason ticket on the Saints to win the division, and that still might be alive. But again, I bet the Saints. I didn't bet them last night, but I bet the Saints in multiple opportunities, especially on the road, whether it be a total or whether it be straight up, and they failed to live up to expectations. I think if you're looking at that division, right, and we take the three teams, Tampa, Atlanta, and New Orleans, if the game is on the line, which team or which quarterback do you feel could actually get you a touchdown, right? And that's really how it comes down to. You have to gauge this. Okay, when we look at this, if they're going to be fighting in terms of a playoff environment, these three teams going down the stretch, which team do you feel offensively and defensively is built for the long haul? And I think that's Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay. Again, the problem with New Orleans is it looks great on paper. Hey, Derek Carr, 300 yards, right? He's throwing it to Chris Olave on almost each and every play. But they don't have chunk plays consistently. They move the football between the 30s, especially on the road. And Dennis Allen is a coach that, as good of a defensive mind he is, right, they do not play for touchdowns. They're not aggressive. They throw slants. They throw hitch patterns. And then once they get inside the 30, they don't know what to do. They settle for field goals while other teams get touchdowns. And they're always playing behind the eight ball. Especially on the road, they never dictate the tempo. And that's just the MO of this team. They're good. They're good at times. They're not elite. And you know what? 7-10, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. Wouldn't shock me if they lose these next two games down the stretch, Ben.
Yeah, we'll see exactly where things end for the Saints. But again, last night New Orleans entered with a plus 104 make playoff price and plus 215 to win the NFC South. Their make playoff price ballooned following the loss last night in Los Angeles. It's now plus 300. Their price to win the NFC South also a good bit longer, but still plus 350 if you think New Orleans can respond next weekend in Tampa against the Buccaneers and then close out the year with a win at home against the Atlanta Falcons, who are an abysmal road team. There's your path for New Orleans to get into the playoffs by winning the NFC South divisional crown. But again, that margin of error is incredibly slim at this point. Meanwhile, Joe, when you look at the Rams, because this will be a part of the conversation as we move it forward as well, not just which teams earn a playoff berth, but which teams we actually expect if/when they reach the postseason can make some noise. The Rams are now 28-1 to win the NFC Championship. Yesterday it was 38-1, so take $10 off the price because of where the Rams position themselves. They were minus 132 to make the playoffs before the win at home over New Orleans, now minus 235 on this Friday morning as the rest of the league will get underway this holiday weekend and week number 16.
Yeah, I mean, again, I love the price. Now, I booked it at 45-1. I'm not bragging, but the reason why I did that, and I did it with the Green Bay Packers at the same time, the Packers have fell off, is because I thought they had the type of quarterback and the team to potentially make a run in their respective divisions, and more importantly, you know, the wild card race. When you look at Seattle and when you look at some of the other teams like Green Bay, Atlanta, you know, even Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, I would rather have Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua and the emergence of Kyren Williams over any one of those teams. And to have a Super Bowl winning head coach in terms of Sean McVay over any one of those head coaches that are in that division. So, you know, that's how I broke it down, and that's why I think it's still great value. And here's the other thing, too, is that they are the second best team in the NFC West. You can't say, and I'm just saying, I know it's a long shot, but you can't say that they can't be, you know, on the road potentially in Philly or San Francisco and strike an upset. I mean, the way they put up 31 against that Baltimore defense a few weeks ago, in the right setting, they have the type of team to do that. And with Aaron Donald and that defense not giving up a huge amount of chunk plays, they could be in ball games. And that's all you can ask for when you make that 28-1 bet. And you have to say, you know what? Yeah. If Dallas is on the road or LA is on the road, which team do you right now, based off the body of work, do you feel more confident in? Because Dallas hasn't stepped up in a critical spot on the road yet. They'll have an opportunity this weekend, but for me, I'd rather take the Rams.
Yeah, we'll see how all of the seeding irons out. Who ends up being the 2 seed? Who wins the NFC East? Who wins the NFC South? Can the Lions lock up the NFC North, their first divisional championship in 3 decades in the National Football League? And then which wild card teams would have to go where to really determine the overall outlook? I do find it fascinating, though. The Rams have $10 shaved off their price. Still a really large drop off, though, from Detroit at 8-1, $20 to the Rams, who have the 5th best price at 28-1. Let's talk about this weekend, Joe, because we have a ton in store. 2 games on Saturday, a full Sunday slate on Christmas Eve, and a marquee matchup filled NFL triple header on Christmas Day, Monday. We'll go in chronological order starting on Saturday. First game up in Pittsburgh inside Acrisure. It's an AFC North rivalry between the Steelers and the Bengals. Both teams still have a shot of making the AFC wild card. The Bengals at the moment have one of those 3 AFC wild card positions. The Steelers, who have lost 3 straight, enter this game on a skid. It won't be Kenny Pickett. He is not back in time. Mitch Trubisky on the bench. Maybe something, Joe, about Christmas weekend when your quarterback's last name is Rudolph. Mason Rudolph gets the start on Saturday against Cincinnati. How do you see that game playing out?
I didn't think about the Rudolph. That was a great analogy with that.
Thank you.
But, you know, and they should have went to Rudolph a couple weeks ago, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, it's like almost by default. And I brought this up to Kevin Walsh last night, our great host in terms of College Football Today. Do you want to bet on Mason Rudolph when you have George Pickens checked out, not blocking, this team that took Arizona for granted a couple of weeks ago when they just said they overlooked them? They're not focused to make the playoffs right now. And I understand the body of work for Mike Tomlin. He has done it each and every year. But that's not – we're not talking about Mike Tomlin. We're talking about the players on this team that had a 13-0 lead on the road in Indy, lost Mike Pittman, the Colts did, along with Zach Moss, and got blown out in the second half. So I can't back the Steelers, even though they're at home, going up, you know, with Mason Rudolph, when they're going up against a hot team with or without Ja'Marr Chase and a quarterback that's rolling sevens right now. I don't care about the body of work or the resume over the past 20 seasons. I'm taking the team that's hot, and that's Cincinnati, because I'll tell you what, when you look back, if Steelers lose this game, you're going to be kicking yourself. Why did I back this team just because of Tomlin? And I can't do it. I'm sorry. No identity. I'm taking the Bengals in the matchup.
Yeah, I think so as well, Joe. It's a line that screams Steelers, Steelers, Steelers. Under Mike Tomlin, never a losing season. They're getting eerily close here in the final 3 weeks of 2023. Under Mike Tomlin, a great underdog, a 62.1% cover percentage, dating back to when Tomlin took the reins in Pittsburgh back in 2007. But this Steelers team is different. Cincinnati has won 3 in a row. They will now be a favorite for a third straight week. They are 1-0-1 against the number as a favorite. Winners of 2 straight. The Steelers started off the year, their first 4 games as an underdog, Pittsburgh won outright. But in their last 3 games as a dog, the Steelers haven't even covered. We'll come back to continue to preview the holiday weekend on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, we preview the holiday weekend slate in week number 16 of this NFL regular season. Joe, 2 games on Saturday. We preview the first game up of the doubleheader in Pittsburgh between the Steelers and the Bengals. Cincy right now, 8-6, in one of those 3 wild card spots in the AFC. The Steelers 7-7 on this 3-game losing skid, including twice to start off this skid. Booked as a home favorite of 5.5, 6 points. The Steelers' last win came just about a month ago in Jake Browning's first career NFL start in Cincinnati. The Steelers won an ugly game, 16-10. But both you and I are kind of in agreement here. The Bengals are probably the right side. No Ja'Marr Chase, though, it should be said, Joe, for Cincinnati tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't care. The way Chase Brown has been running the football and the way that Joe Mixon's been involved in terms of the short to intermediate passing game, T. Higgins stepped up. I still like Cincinnati. And as good as their offense has been, their defense starting to come back into form, right? I understand they gave up over 20 points early on to Minnesota and Nick Mullins. But in the second half, they made adjustments. They shut them down. And again, I think they could do that against a one-dimensional offense in Pittsburgh. But what is the identity of Pittsburgh right now, Ben? That is the problem. They can't stretch teams over the top. They don't utilize Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. Can't get the football to them vertically. And they can't run the football consistently week to week. Outside of Jaylen Warren, what is the bright spot of that offense right now? And the offensive line has struggled. So, again, it comes down to Zach Taylor found something with Jake Browning. He's continuing. And their offense hasn't missed a beat right now. So, for me, I got to go with the more consistent team fighting for a playoff berth that actually wants it. And that is the biggest thing. In the Mike Tomlin era, we've never questioned an intensity or work ethic out of the Pittsburgh Steelers. All of a sudden, now this team seems like they quit midseason.
Yeah, for some reason, the Bengals don't have a make playoff price on FanDuel. The Steelers do, and it's not optimistic for the Steelers if you think they're going to be a playoff team. Plus 1120 for the Steelers to get into the AFC postseason. Now in minus money, it's the Buffalo Bills. A minus 188 price for the Bills to be an AFC wildcard team, or maybe just an AFC playoff team, depending on how the AFC East division shakes out. But Buffalo, Joe, emerging out of the bye, 2 games it had to have against really tough competition on the road in Kansas City, back home last week and get against the Cowboys. Buffalo gets both. They cover in both. And now they're a 12.5-point favorite in the nightcap of the doubleheader on Saturday in Los Angeles. 12.5-point spread in favor of the Bills against the Chargers. The over-under 43.5.
Yeah, I can't look any other way but the Buffalo Bills. And I understand that the coach was fired and teams potentially step up after that, but I can't buy in to Easton Stick and a defense that, again, has quit on the year. When you give up 63 points, and I understand there were 2 defensive touchdowns in that game last week or about a week and a half ago, it doesn't matter to me. You know, Easton Stick, a deer in the headlights, can't read coverage. Whether Keenan Allen plays or not, to me, is insignificant. I can only look in terms of the Buffalo Bills. I think they grind it out again in terms of the physicality of the rushing attack with James Cook coming off a buck 79 last week against Dallas. Josh Allen, I think, will have success. And again, when you look at this game, And I know people are going to say, well, they're going on the West Coast. They just want to get out of Dodge. This has been a team in the Buffalo Bills that have played down to the level of competition week in and week out. The New York Giants earlier in the year, the Tampa Bay Bucks, right? Denver. Now they're starting to get their way and find their identity. They should not stop and be complacent in this ballgame. They should smell blood in the water and take care of business. I think it's all Buffalo. I think they win this ballgame 30-7. Wouldn't shock me if the under comes in, because I just have no confidence in the Chargers scoring points in this ballgame.
I think Buffalo could get to the total by themselves at 43.5. Like you, Joe, I think Buffalo will at least be in the 30s, maybe closer to 35, 38, 41, something of the sort. And that's not just because the last time we saw the Bolts out there, they gave up 63 points to the Raiders. And then right after that, exactly a week ago, firing GM Tom Telesco and head coach Brandon Staley. I have no idea what this LA team is going to look like. I don't think it's particularly good tomorrow night. By the way, Buffalo this year, more than a touchdown favorite, Joe, 6 times. 2-4 against the spread, not great. They've even lost 2 of those games outright. But they don't really have any margin of error. There is no step-back spot on the schedule, because even with those 2 marquee wins, Joe, over KC, over Dallas following the bye, if the season ended today, based on tiebreakers and the like in the wild card race, Buffalo would be on the outside of a jumbled AFC playoff picture looking in. And the Chargers, Joe, if Buffalo hasn't been great covering numbers when they've laid more than a touchdown, the Chargers are the worst underdog team in the NFL. 0-5 against the spread, not covering by an average margin of 11.4 points per game. Keep an eye on Josh Allen, over 241.5, his passing yards prop, and Stephon Diggs to have a big day as well. Next up, Joe, we go to that Christmas Eve Sunday slate. It starts in Atlanta. The Falcons, a 2.5-point home favorite against the Indianapolis Colts. The Falcons now have lost 2 straight games, booked as a favorite in both, including last week on the road in Carolina. Still in the NFC South mix, but a game behind Tampa Bay at this moment with a 6-8 record. Meanwhile, Indianapolis has won 5 of their last 6 games, and in all 5 games, Joe, they've been a short favorite, now a short road underdog in the ATL. Who wins that game on Sunday?
I think it's the Colts. Again, veteran quarterback that has stepped up in Gardner Minshew, and a team that's battle-tested and showed their mental resolve against Pittsburgh last week. I know Heineke's getting the start, but I don't care. I mean, this is another team that has no identity in terms of Arthur Smith and the offense, doesn't know how to utilize the playmakers, and is completely confused. And this shows by going back and forth to Taylor Heineke throughout the regular season. You cannot do that in terms of your offense. That shows that you're grasping for straws, and now that the game is and the season is on the line, you're hoping that Heineke could spark plug this offense. I just can't do it. Steichen has done a fantastic job. They understand what they could do and what they can't do, and Gardner Minshew plays well within the scheme. Again, he's on the road. The guy rolls 7s. When we're talking betting, right? My money is at least I know I'm going down with Gardner Minshew as opposed to a team that is trying to figure it out. That is the bet for me. Steichen's more consistent than Arthur Smith, and Minshew has done it more this year than Taylor Heineke. Give me the Colts outright.
I think Heineke might bring some consistency to the offense, but by no means do I believe that Taylor Heineke is the reason Atlanta is going to win the football game. I think the wrong side is favored here. The best thing for Atlanta is being back at home, because on the road under Arthur Smith, 3-14 straight up in the last 2 years. Now 10-6 at home. That's a benefit, but Atlanta as a favorite this year, 2-8 against the spread. Indianapolis has been a good road team, 5-2 away from Indy. The Green Bay Packers need a bounce back as well, Joe, if the 6-8 pack are going to stay in the NFC wild card mix. They're a 4.5-point road favorite on Sunday in Charlotte against the Carolina Panthers, over under 37.5. Joe, the Packers have only been booked as a favorite 3 times, each of the past 2 weeks, and then earlier on in November against the Brett Rippon-led LA Rams. They won and covered that game against LA, but in their last 2, Joe, as a favorite, they have lost outright. Is this the time Green Bay bounces back?
Yeah, I think they win by double digits. I think they smash Carolina in this game. I really do. I think this is a get-right spot on the road, and I don't think they're going. Again, I know they're on the outside looking in for a potential wild card, but I don't. I think they step up and continue to be in the mix. I just do not feel Carolina could go toe-to-toe. I think being on the road potentially will benefit Green Bay, and I just think Jordan Love has a huge performance. I know statistically Carolina's been pretty good against the pass this year, but again, they won that game by default against Atlanta. You know, they did. They won it by default because of how bad Arthur Smith coached that game. That's the only reason why they won. In back-to-back games, Bryce Young and that offense haven't put up double digits, really. I mean, I understand they won it 13 points last week, but they got abused by New Orleans 2 weeks ago. They can't push the ball vertically. This is a huge get-right spot offensively for Green Bay, and I think they smoke them. I think they win by double digits, Ben.
There is a lot of offensive ineptitude for Carolina. You will not hear me argue elsewhere, but I think there's a lot of defensive deficiencies for Green Bay. I don't think Joe Barry should have a job as a defensive coordinator for Green Bay after this year, even if the Packers find their way as an NFC playoff team. They have allowed 19 points in six consecutive games. They've also scored 19 points in six consecutive games. The Packers have been over in five of those six, over in four straight. Tempo. Alt 42 and a half, taking it up to the alternate over there at plus 172. I think Carolina will score. I think this game will see some points on Sunday in Charlotte. Joe, a game that has featured a lot of line movement given the availability of Houston's quarterback CJ Stroud. He remains in concussion protocol, unlikely to play on Sunday when the Texans host the Cleveland Browns. Houston opened up as a 2.5 point favorite. Now that line has completely flipped. The Texans now a 2.5 point home underdog against Joe Flacco and the Browns.
Yeah, I like Texans. Again, whether it's Case Keenum or Stroud, doesn't matter. To me, it's a defensive edge for D'Amico Ryans in Houston. The fact that Flacco's stationary going on the road, I think they batter him. I really do. I think they get – this is, to me, a bad matchup for Cleveland. Their offensive line, even though Flacco stepped up, I think they get to him and force him into turnovers. Give me Houston.
Houston as the underdog, says Joe Lisi. The Texans have been a great dog this year, 6-2 against the spread. Five of those six covers an outright victory. The Texans are the only team in the National Football League to be booked as an underdog multiple times and have a winning record straight up. More from around Sunday in the NFL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It's the holidays. It's the most wonderful time of the year because there is football on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. A doubleheader of NFL action on Christmas Eve. That is Saturday. A full NFL Sunday slate on Christmas Eve, Sunday, and a triple header of marquee matchups on Christmas Day, Monday. Joe, let's continue riding around Christmas Eve and setting up that Sunday slate. History at stake in Minneapolis on Sunday. Not for the Vikings, but for the Detroit Lions, who are a three-point road favorite with a win or even a tie, Joe Lisi. The Detroit Lions will do something they have not in a very long time. In three decades, the Lions would win a divisional championship in the National Football League for the first time since 1993. Lisi, do you think the Lions can get it done?
I do. I think they could actually smash Minnesota. Again, I think that was the last stand for the Vikings last week on the road in Cincinnati. They lost a heartbreaker. I understand Nick Mullins came off the street and put up a huge performance. But again, I just don't know if their defense is up to par to really shut down Jared Goff and Detroit in this ballgame. I think they can run it. They can throw it. And I like them in that spot. So I would lay the 3 points. It's not going to be one of my games that I'm going to step up this weekend, Ben. I like Green Bay. I like I said, Indianapolis on Sunday and the other games in terms of Saturday, you know, with the Bills and stuff. So, but I would lay it with Detroit. I mean, I just don't see any shot for Minnesota from what I saw last week to win that ballgame.
Yeah, listen, Minnesota performed really well last week, forcing it into overtime, pushing as the underdog. They are now 4-2-2 against the dog this year, or as a dog this year. Nick Mullins threw for over 300 yards. Ty Chandler had success on the ground. Justin Jefferson is back. His receiving yards prop 82.5. And there have been some worries about the Lions away from Detroit here in the last month and a half of this NFL season. But the good news is this game is also indoors in Minnesota. I think we see some points. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout win for Detroit. I think it's by a single score. I think this flat number of 3 could be very key. But I do believe Detroit will come out with an outright victory. Its first divisional championship in the NFL since 1993. 3 decades is a very long time for Detroit. All right, Joe, next up on Sunday, one of the 2 games this weekend that features teams that have either both been eliminated already from playoff contention, or one of the teams eliminated and the other at least 2 games out of a potential playoff spot entering week number 16. That's in MetLife on Sunday. The Jets host the Commanders. New York, a 3-point home favorite, the over-under 36.5.
Yeah, I can't bet New York. Come on. They didn't put up any points against the Dolphins. That was a rivalry game. They're going to put up points against the Commanders. And I, you know how I feel about Ron Rivera and that staff right now. I love Eric Bieniemy, but that staff is dead man walking. But I have more confidence in the Commanders catching 3 points at home, on the road, than I do the Jets. I don't care who starts at quarterback. Again, the problem is that that defense is checked out. They have one of the best pass defenses in all the NFL until Jalen Waddle and Tua ripped them last week. That, to me, shows you everything you need to see about the New York Jets. I mean, there's going to be guys fighting for jobs, but I'll take Sam Howell, I'll take Terry McLaurin, and I'll take that offense over with Zach Wilson and those New York Jets have at home, Ben.
Listen, the vibes are not great for either of these two teams. I think Ron Rivera has already packed his bags. He's not coming back as the head coach, but Eric Bieniemy is still there. You still want to see what you have out of Sam Howell. The reins are fully off at this point. Yes, Howell was benched last week late in a blowout in Los Angeles against the Rams. He's still going to play. I have no idea who the quarterback is for the Jets. More than likely, Trevor Siemian. Should the Jets, even with Zach Wilson at this point, be laying a 0.5 point to anybody? No. I have no idea how this line is at 3 in favor of the New York Jets. And the Commanders this year, 5-4-1 against the number as an underdog. Give me Washington +3. Give me Washington outright +138. Another 3-point spread in Nashville on Sunday. The Seahawks laying 3 on the road against the Tennessee Titans, over under 41.5. The first game in nearly a month and a half, Joe, Seattle has been booked as a favorite. 5 straight games entering this week as an underdog. They covered in 4 of those 5, and they snapped a 4-game losing skid, of course, with the Seattle Stunner on Monday night, led by Drew Lock over Philadelphia. But Geno Smith has been a full participant at practice. Pete Carroll meeting with the media on Wednesday afternoon, saying he feels optimistic Geno Smith is going to start and play in this game. Seattle, a 3-point favorite, Joe, in Nashville. What do you like?
This is tough. I like Tennessee here. I love this game, but I think the over is the play. I think the over 41.5 can get there, especially if Geno does play, because you have DK, you have Tyler Lockett, you have JSN in terms of that lineup. I mean, he came on with a huge catch to win that ball game, you know, against the Eagles. I just, again, I lean to the Titans because it's Vrabel and Tennessee at home is, you know, catching points has been okay. They've been in ball games, but again, I don't love it. So give me the over. I'll take Tennessee, but I like the over as the best bet in that ball game, Ben.
We'll see what the Titans have left, what they have out there. Will Levis suffered a high ankle sprain last week for Tennessee. We'll see if he plays in this game. Could it be Ryan Tannehill? Would they go back to the veteran who they benched? Would they give Malik Willis a shot? Do they want to play Derrick Henry? I don't really know what Tennessee has, Joe. I agree. The number is strange. I think Seattle wins outright. Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, Joe, a huge game on Sunday afternoon in Tampa. The Buccaneers now a 2-0 and a half point home favorite, the over-under 41.5. Both of these teams currently sit in first in their respective South divisions. The Jaguars, of course, the AFC South, the Buccaneers in the NFC South. We're not sure about Trevor Lawrence. He remains in concussion protocol. Earlier today, Joe, this line was at a full field goal in favor of Tampa. Now back down to just 2.5 under that key number of 3. What do you like in Tampa Bay on Sunday?
Yeah, I like the dog, and this is the best bet. And I don't care if Trevor Lawrence plays or not. If it's C.J. Beathard, that's not a problem for me. I think they get back to basics, running the football. The reason why I like Jacksonville is, and I understand they haven't looked great in back-to-back meetings, but they are a great road team. And forget the loss to Cleveland a couple weeks ago because Trevor Lawrence was coming off that high ankle sprain. I thought they played that wrong, Doug Peterson. They allowed Trevor Lawrence to throw it a ton when I thought they should have run the football and gotten into a lower scoring game with Joe Flacco because of the health of Trevor Lawrence. They pushed tempo. They fell behind early. I don't think they do that here. I think they get Tampa Bay into an ugly blue-collar game. Even with Beathard at the helm, they run it. They pull it out. You want to give me 2.5, I'll take the 2.5, but I really like the plus 116 on the money line. I think the Jacksonville side is the way to go. I think they're the better team. Even though Baker playing well, give me the Jags and the mild upset.
Completely agree, Joe. I want Jacksonville in this game. Both defenses, not great defending the pass. Two of the bottom four passing defenses in the league. But that, to me, is the matchup in this football game, whether it's Trevor Lawrence or C.J. Beathard. If the Buccaneers can be slowed down offensively and the Jacksonville defense steps up on the road, then I like the Jaguars in this spot. This will be the fifth time this year the Bucs have been booked as a favorite 3-1 straight up, 2-2 against the spread. Jacksonville on the road this year, both 4-1 straight up and against the number. Jacksonville needs this game. They try to end the bleeding that is this three-game skid. Tampa enters winning 3 in a row. Very different vibes and atmospheres around these teams, but the last two for the Buccaneers as a road underdog. I think Jacksonville returns the favor on Sunday. So, Joe, the Jets and the Commanders, one of those games where both teams are eliminated. The Cardinals are eliminated from playoff contention, and the Bears are two games outside of any potential NFC wildcard spot at this moment. So that's the other matchup that does not really feature playoff significance on Sunday. Chicago, a 4.5-point favorite at home against Arizona, over under 43. Joe, I think we see some points.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Justin Fields in that offense. Again, I like the over with you. Total, I mean, sidewise, I got to lay it with Chicago. I can't buy into Kyler. It's going to be cold. It's going to be damp. Yeah, give me Chicago. And I understand they stepped up in Pittsburgh, but this is a different animal. I think they run it. 43, could we get 50 in this ballgame? Could you think we can get 50? I could alt it up.
So the Bears defense has been very good as of late. They have gone under in 6 of their last 7 because of that. But I think Chicago will be able to score enough, and the Cardinals then add on a little bit there as well to get us over 43. The Bears defense has been much improved, but the Cardinals aren't really stopping anybody, as we saw exemplified last week by San Francisco. And no, the Bears offense is not even reminiscent of what the 49ers are doing right now, but I think we see some points. Joe, the marquee matchup on Sunday is in Miami. It's the Dolphins and the Cowboys, and there is just 14 cents, only 14 cents of money line distinction between these two teams. The Cowboys, a slight road underdog, minus 102 on that money line number. Miami, a slight home favorite then at minus 116. It's the largest total of the weekend, Joe. It's over under 50.5.
Yeah, auto bet Dallas. This is it. This could be a best bet special. I love the Cowboys in the spot, and I'm a Dolphin fan. But I think this is a bad matchup for Miami. They're banged up. Xavier Howard banged up. A huge day. You heard it here first. Potential a $1.50 by C.D. Lamb in this ballgame. Whether Tyreek plays or not, he's been hearing all week about Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Tua. I think this is a get-right spot for Dak and the offense. I think it's a bad matchup. Miami's another team. They're the Ferrari till they get a step-up spot against a blue-collar type of defense. That's what we saw in terms of the Eagles. And I understand that Dallas's defense isn't elite, but they're still a little more blue-collar than Miami is. This is a dominant effort. I think Dallas wins the ball game outright. I think we go over, but I think it's all Dak and it's all CD in this ball game, Ben.
A narrative game for sure, Joe. The Cowboys, all four of their losses on the road this year as a road underdog. Again, it's a very slight road underdog price for the Cowboys at the moment. But as a road underdog, 0-3 against the spread. And they've got walloped a few times, including last week in Buffalo. For Miami, a 10-win football team like Dallas. But all 10 of the wins for the Finns have come against a team that enters week number 16 at 500 or below that winning record margin. So who will buck that narrative in this game? We'll find out. Last week, Joe, felt like a strong Buffalo line, a point and a half, 2.5 points through most of the week for the Bills against the surging Cowboys at home. This doesn't feel that same way. And where the line is working, I think it will be competitive on Sunday in Miami. Sunday night football to end out the Christmas Eve slate. The Denver Broncos, a 6.5 point home favorite against the New England Patriots, the over under 34.5. If Denver wants to stay in the playoff mix, Joe, in the AFC, they need this football game. They have been booked as a favorite 7 times this year, but they have never laid more than 4 points. That will be a step up to try to cover and win by a touchdown.
Yeah, I like the Patriots in this ball game. Again, I think the Patriots, because of the defense, could take away the rushing attack. I think this is a game Belichick wants to show up. We saw him show up, Mike Tomlin, a couple weeks ago. I think he'll want to show up Sean Payton. And I don't know if they get the outright win, but I'm going to take the points in that ball game, Ben.
I think they hold New England to under 13.5 points. I think it's a big game for the Broncos. Joe, we know the story of the year for Denver. They lost 3 in a row to start the year. They were 1-5 after 6 weeks. They respond by winning 6 of their next 7 games. They were obviously hammered last week in Detroit. But in 5 of those 6 wins for the Broncos, the game total went under. I think it needs to stay under even small 34.5 on Sunday night. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Bowl season rolls on in college football, even one on this Friday night in Tampa. It's the Gasparilla Bowl between Georgia Tech and UCF. A 5.5 point spread, Joe, in favor of Central Florida. The over-under is working its way up to 66.5. What do you like tonight as bowl season rolls on with 7 FBS games on the horizon for Saturday?
I like G-Tech plus the 5.5. I like the over 66.5, and I like Haynes King, Ben. Not through the air, on the ground, 80 plus at plus money, and I took John Rhys Plumlee at 250 to 275 alt in the passing attack.
Joe, the numbers have ballooned like crazy for this game. Georgia Tech is the 3rd worst rushing defense in the country. UCF is the 4th best rushing offense in the country. RJ Harvey's prop, who's the lead back for UCF earlier in the week, was 104.5. It's up to 116 and a hook. John Rhys Plumlee, who's opened at 58.5, got to 59.5 earlier today, is now at 64.5 for his rushing yards prop. That total is on its way up as well to 66 and a hook, Joe. But to your point about the Yellow Jackets, great as an underdog this year, 6-2 against the spread, including 4 outright victories. Joe, what about the Saturday slate, the 7 FBS bowl games that we have? Which one catches your attention the most?
Well, I mean, the one that I, you know, you're going to laugh at me in terms of the bowls that I like in regards to these Saturday games, but I go to Air Force and James Madison. I like the over in that game.
Yeah.
I think we could get some points, and I understand both defenses are stout against the run, and Air Force lost 4 straight. But without Cignetti, I don't know how James Madison's going to be defensively. Give me the over 40 and a hook in that ball game, Ben.
Yeah, listen, the line has worked a little bit against the Dukes in James Madison. I still think they're the right side. -1.5, -132. Really good defending the run, but a lot of coaching turnover, which is not the case, of course, for Air Force. And give me Northwestern. +6.5 in the Las Vegas Bowl against Utah as well. We'll talk to you guys after a wonderful holiday weekend. Everybody enjoy the holidays.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.